I'm Floyd Hall, and this is a Wonder Root Artist feature. I have the pleasure today of talking with filmmaker and visual artist Ronnie Nicole. Ronnie, how are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, Floyd. Thank you for having me.
Well, I'm looking forward to this. When did you first know that you were an artist?
I did not define myself as an artist until, maybe 8 weeks after my graduation from SCAD, ironically. And that was for my master's. So pretty late in my 20s, I defined myself as an artist. But I think that I've always been one, whether it was my little escapades and behind my grandmother's house when I was a kid, just searching for things to kind of gather together and create little shrines or little homes for things. So maybe been an artist a long time, just hadn't defined it.
When did you get to that point where you could own that title?
I think it was my first commission to direct a music video. And I don't know why I hadn't said it. It was, you know, it was a surprise once I finally did call myself that. I wondered, you know, why hadn't I defined that before? And why is it kind of sneaking out of my mouth as if I'm still a little uncomfortable with it? But even the questioning of it helped me to stand a little firmer in the fact that I felt I was really an artist, not just because I was getting paid for a job, but because on that job, I had approached it with skill, you know, an open mind to experiment, and I really felt the magic of art making in that experience. So I was ready to call myself that.
Let's talk about your process when it comes to your filmmaking. And most things start with an idea. So can you give some perspective of how you go from that idea to how you nurture that idea until it becomes something that you're ready to take even further?
I believe that there are miracles kind of spinning around us everywhere. And my process really involves seeing. I fall in love with the way, you know, light falls on someone's face, or the way, you know, a shadow cuts hard. And it's in that sight that I then kind of delve into it. It might be that I add a story or I try to listen to a situation and develop a story from that. But most times it begins with seeing something and being very excited at the wonder of it, the mysticism in something so simple, you know. And most times I take a picture at that moment. People around me are kind of like, you always have, you know, your camera phone in your hand. But I look at it as research. I want to capture that moment and then go home and stare at it and analyze kind of what that moment had to say. And a lot of my stories grow from that. A lot of my ideas for constructed photo shoots grow from kind of those everyday moments.
Ronnie, even with those moments, what is it about being an artist, a visual artist such as yourself, that has given you this ability to embrace that moment?
Okay, Floyd. So it's kind of a couple different lanes that I function in, that I find myself functioning in. There is that lane of just capturing these beautiful everyday moments, you know, with whatever's accessible. I mean, I'll shoot with anything. Your camera. Can I borrow? No, I'm joking. I'll shoot with whatever. But that is really, in my mind, acknowledging God's presence. Acknowledging God's handiwork, you know, just these small little beautiful things. I remember a couple days before my grandmother passed, I walked to the screen door and I just looked out and there was this caterpillar just making its way. And it had one of the, was it the dandelions that you blow? that you blow to make a wish. It had one of those kind of on its back. And I felt at that moment that I was just blessed to have seen it, you know. And I guess that attitude makes the moment special when I do click that picture, because it's in gratitude for the ability to see something beautiful. And then after that, when I'm photographing people, there is somewhat of an anticipation of moments, because I try to, as a photographer, instill my subjects with confidence about their true inner beauty. And small things that you say or do on a set really help people to stand tall. With women, you always remind them that their neck is the most beautiful part of them. And in that, everything else relaxes to its most natural state, and you can kind of catch them being at once proud and vulnerable. And I think that's a very beautiful moment. So most of it is the attitude with which I think you approach a thing. In film, I like to construct moments. I like production design. I like wardrobe. I like to think ahead about how a character's costume will make the audience feel about them. So there's a lot of work that goes into that part of myself. And I really enjoy that, you know, sitting down and just mapping out the whole picture, so that I can kind of make a concentrated effort to affect people as I've been affected in seeing things. Does that make sense?
It does.
Okay.
It does. You were a Walthall Fellow here at Wonder Root as part of the first Walthall Fellow class, and you also graduated from SCAD. So I'm curious to get your perspective of how your education at SCAD was different than your fellowship with Wonder Root.
Mm-hmm.
How were those two things different, as well as maybe even how they were similar?
Okay, interesting question. First of all, I'll say Savannah has a good deal to do with how wonderful SCAD was for me. Savannah's a magical town. And, you know, I created an extended family there. So my experience at SCAD was about learning the craft. I was actually a film and television major, so most of my life was production, writing, storyboarding, you know, planning and finishing things. And that was a lot of grueling work. You know, it's just work. You're carrying light cases, you're at set before sunrise, you're not finished until the middle of the night. It was just learning the nuts and bolts of how to create a beautiful picture, how to sculpt good characters, and et cetera. And also, SCAD gave me a wonderful network of artists. And that I would say is similar, because when you go through a process with a group of people, you all are kind of bonded in a way, in a very beautiful way. So my SCAD homies are still my homies. And they are some of my favorite inspirations as artists. And then on the other side, Walthall has kind of, I guess, when I graduated from SCAD, I came, like I said, I had my first commissioned music video, and I hit the ground running, and I was just ready to do everything. I was so hungry to make work that I would say yes to anything. I was, you know, I would shoot for free. I worked really hard in that first year after moving back to Atlanta. And at the end of it, I had a lot of great work. I had, you know, expanded my resume with art direction, still photography, music videos, and a couple other credits on short films, but I had no money. Nothing. I mean, I remember I was dating a man and I was so ashamed that I didn't have my own money. it never even came up because I never had to touch my wallet in the process. But I just remember the feeling of, I guess, having a master's and not having anything kind of to show for it materially. Shortly after that, I moved to New York and kind of really found my artistic voice. And I'm thankful after what was a journey post-New York, that Walthall was kind of my welcome back to Atlanta, because it took the craft that I learned at SCAD, my spiritual walk, as well as now, you know, having traveled and lived in four states. It took all of that and kind of helped me mix it in a way that could make something. And a big part of it is teaching has taught me how to actually make this a living, actually make this my job, as opposed to something that I just do.
In that answer, and I love that answer, you mentioned something about the grueling aspect of that first year after you left SCAD and just what it takes to produce work in your field. And I think there's a certain love of the work that I get from a lot of artists, a lot of filmmakers, that it is grueling, it is taxing, but there's a love in it. And that you find out very quickly whether you're really built for that. Can you speak to the loving your craft portion of what you do, or maybe even any craft, but just the loving of it to get to a point where it's ready for the public to receive it?
Mm-hmm. Well, loving the craft is essential. You know, although I don't think I would have finished film school if I had not had that. There's almost like there's a picture in your mind, right? And in order to recreate that picture and make it real and visible to the world, there's a process. And if you learn that process and maybe step two is just too hard for you, then you may never achieve that picture. And that picture in your mind has to be firmly set. Like, you've got to have the hunger for that has to outweigh, you know, your tiredness, your brokenness, whatever it is. And that can only come from love. It's my first taste of it, my first true taste, I would say, occurred when we had to shoot on film in one of my cinematography classes. And film is an utter walk of faith, but also a real dependence on yourself to do kind of the right processes. And I remember, you know, going through those processes, and then when I got my film back and I watched it, I think I fell in love to such a degree that even the flaws, I would want to go back in and do it again and spend all that money and lift all those lights and, you know, spend however many hours it took to perfect it, just to see it again, because there was something about it coming to life and it taking time to come to life that I think deepened my love for it. And if you don't have enough love for it, you won't do it. And I think that's the difference. A lot of people kind of have something in their mind, but it may be because they see other people doing a particular thing, you know, that, oh, I want to do that too. And you jump into that pot and you don't understand the process, you know. You don't have the love in you deep enough. So I would say it's a lot about first falling in love with that picture in your mind, you know, whatever that is. It may be a painting, it may be. And it may take you years to get to that, you know. There are still about 10 things in my mind I hope that I'll be able to complete by the time my, you know, my hair is gray. or by the time I leave, you know, this earth. And I'm okay with that because love should be longstanding like that.
What inspires you about Atlanta?
Atlanta has been, you know, one of my favorite places since I was a teenager. So I watch Outkast come of age in my visits here. I've seen it go through all level of change. and I think it's that, you know, it's that the heart of it remains very palpable. The people in Atlanta are warm, and it's like a family here to me. And that inspires me because it's safe and I can, you know, make work and be myself among some really salt of the earth people.
Ronnie Nicole, filmmaker, photographer, visual artist, let all of our listeners know how they can contact you or at least see more of your work.
Okay. Friends, if you want to reach out, if you want to learn more about my work, if you just want to connect, the best way to do so, first at my website, www.ronnienicole.com, and it's R-O-N-I, spelled like Roni, Tenderoni, if you like Bobby Brown. Also, Instagram, Moving Pic Show, and Facebook, Ronnie Nicole.
Ronnie, thank you.
Thank you, Floyd. It was wonderful.